Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Have you ever had this experience where you've just had so much going on in your life, or perhaps there are things going on also in the lives of those that you care very much about, family members, close personal friends? You just lay awake, you can't fall asleep, and those things are just weighing on your heart. Perhaps you feel a pit, it feels like indigestion in your stomach, and that feeling just won't go away. And you're not sure even what to say to God about all of those things that you're facing, you and your loved ones and friends are facing in your life. You know, as a Christian, you know, as a believer, someone who has heard God's promises, that you should simply just entrust those things to God in prayer. Lay those burdens before His throne of grace and be at peace, knowing that He is in control over all things, that He will hear those prayers of yours and answer them for your good. Yet you still just can't help lying there awake at night, wondering, perhaps worrying, and perhaps you even also have difficulty even praying, even expressing verbally or just in your mind and in thoughts and words to God, because those situations just seem so difficult and complicated, just seem so impossible. Perhaps maybe the devil has also planted a little seed of doubt in your heart as to whether God is really in control and whether He is really loving if He allows those things to happen. And certainly if you broaden the scope beyond just your personal life and the lives and affairs of your family members and close friends, and you think about the broader society, the world around us, think about everything that's going on in our city and throughout our country and all around the world in these recent weeks and months. It all just seems to be too much for us to handle. Where do we even start in prayer about all of these things? We might just have simply no idea what we should be praying for when we're faced with all of these challenges. Well, almost 2,000 years ago, the Apostle Paul wrote a letter to the Christians living in the city of Rome. And Paul, certainly as a sinful human being himself, living in a sinful world, facing many challenges and difficulties, he faced this same problem. And he knew that God's people, living in Rome and living elsewhere in the world at that time, and certainly all throughout history and in the future up till today, faced and will face afflictions and weaknesses, both around them and within themselves. And so here in the 8th chapter of Romans, we take a closer look at the comfort that God offers us as we face this kind of situation. We're reminded that even though there will be suffering in this world because of the sinful nature of all the people who live in this world and the way that has affected everything in the world, and we have assurance from God that nothing will be able to separate us from God's love for us that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. That God has called us to be His children, that He dearly loves each and every one of us for Jesus' sake. There is now no condemnation for us who are in Christ Jesus. Now the Lord knows that at times we will be frustrated and we will be restless and full of worry and anxiety. He promises us that the Holy Spirit helps us to bear those weaknesses that we have. And whatever the weaknesses might be that you face, it might be physical infirmity, it might be emotional problems or illness, it might be spiritual trouble or a desire for another person to receive God's love, to turn to God in faith, to turn to Jesus in faith as Savior. The Holy Spirit helps us in all of those situations, in all of those weaknesses, and all of those troubles. He helps us with strength that is sufficient for us. As God assures us through the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, he says, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." That is why God sent his Son into the world. That is why the Word, the eternal Son of God, the all-powerful, all-knowing Son of God, became flesh, took on human form, and lived among us, among sinful people, here in this sin-filled world. And that's why we, in our human weaknesses, are taught to look to him for divine help. The Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. We know from God's word that he will never leave us. He will never forsake us. He is always with us, no matter what we face in life. He's there to help us and to strengthen us when we are weak. The specific example that the Apostle Paul gives to us here today is prayer. And he readily admits that we do not know what we should pray for. If it were left up to us, we sometimes wouldn't even pray at all. But having been motivated by God's love for us, we offer prayers of thanksgiving to God, and we bring our requests to him, trusting that he hears us for Jesus' sake. And even then, so often we conclude our prayers with, "If it is your will," just as Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, "not my will, but your will be done." There are instances where God's will about a certain situation that we face in our lives or that we're thinking about, where God's will is made very clear to us in his word. And when that is the case, we dare not ignore what God clearly reveals to us by praying something that we know is contrary to God's will, but then just tacking on the end, "if it is your will," even though we know it is against God's will. But so often we don't even know how to pray for specifics in the individual circumstances that we face. We don't know what things are really necessary to bring us assistance and help and aid in those situations. But God assures us through the Apostle Paul in this reading that the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that are not expressed in words. And the Holy Spirit fills our hearts and motivates us to pray. The prayers that sometimes come out of the depths of our souls are not even expressed in intelligible words, but God understands them because of the Holy Spirit. We might not be able to find the exact right words to adequately express to God the situation we face, even what we're feeling about it, what we want, what help we need from him, but our hearts speak directly to God, even if our lips are unable to form the words or articulate the thoughts. These are feelings that can't be expressed sometimes in any spoken language, but God hears them. God understands them because God knows all things. God knows our hearts. Isn't that an amazing thing that God, the Holy Spirit himself, intercedes for us? The text here says, for the saints, for God's holy people. We whom God declares to be holy, righteous in his sight, because Jesus has paid for all of our sins upon the cross. The Holy Spirit intercedes for us with gentle whispers, with sighs too deep for words. Our memories are moved by the Holy Spirit to remember God's working in the past for us in our lives, to remember Bible passages that we've memorized before as children or that we've heard before in church. The Holy Spirit, in his miraculous way, calls those passages of God's word back to mind for us to soothe our hearts and minds, to bring us comfort. The Holy Spirit reminds us of who we are, what our true identity is as redeemed children of God, as people who have been precious souls, who have been bought with the blood of Christ that he shed upon the cross. The Holy Spirit reminds us of God's promise that he sends his holy angels to be with us, to watch over us and guard us against all the attacks of the devil and his evil angels, so that the wicked foe may have no power over us. God, the Holy Spirit, searches the hearts of his children, of his dearly loved sons and daughters. And he discovers there in our hearts those unutterable sighs, those frustrations that we feel, all from our inability to put those thoughts and those feelings, those anxieties and worries into words in prayer to God. And although there may not be any verbal activity on our part, we might not even speak out those things that are in our heart, yet God promises that he understands them by his omniscience, by his amazing ability to know everything, even all the secrets that we keep, even things that we ourselves are not aware of that are resting and hidden deep in our hearts. Think about the words that Jesus tells us in his Sermon on the Mount when he instructs us not to worry. He says, "Your Father knows what you need before you ask him." Think about that amazing truth. We don't need to worry about having the perfect prayer. God knows what we need. We pray to him confidently, knowing that he already knows, but he wants us to come and ask him. He invites us to come and pray to him. In the midst of our weakness, we plead to the Lord for all sorts of assistance in this life. We're aware, yes, of the simplicity so often of our prayers, and so often that our prayers lack scriptural knowledge as we should have to accurately reflect God's will for our lives. But yet we have the assurance that because the Holy Spirit is interceding for us, he teaches us how to pray. He perfects our imperfect prayers as he brings them before our Heavenly Father. He truly is our advocate, the one who speaks up in our defense to God the Father, who prays to God the Father for us. The Apostle Paul really is being truthful and honest when he writes, "We do not know what we should pray for." Think about how true that is. How sometimes maybe you've prayed for something and then later on you realize from the way God has led things in your life that what you were originally praying for was not actually what was best for you. You saw, look in from hindsight, reflecting on the things that God has caused to develop in your life, that God had a better plan for your life. What an amazing thing that is, that even though we don't know what to pray for, God, the Holy Spirit, perfects our prayers, and he gives us what is best for us. As children of God, we ought to pray regularly, and we ought to grow in our prayer life daily. When we think of what our Lord Jesus has done for us and how he continuously pours out blessings upon us in our lives, we should be motivated to prayer simply by pure thankfulness for his love and grace and mercy to us. When we think of God's constant offer of forgiveness for us, full and free forgiveness for all of our sins, when we think of God's promise to us of eternal life with him in heaven, that promise that is sure and certain and unshakable, then we are truly motivated to pray from the depths of our hearts, knowing that God does love us, that God will hear and answer our prayers in the way that is best for us. So let's make it practical. How is your prayer life? Well, if you're not setting aside regular daily time to be alone with God in prayer, to be able to simply pour out to him what is on your heart and what is in your mind, then start doing it. Now, don't let it just be a quick word before a meal, a a set prayer that you have memorized, although that's a wonderful habit to have, and that's a wonderful reminder, a prompt, a regular time for us to pray to God. But also, just let your heart speak naturally. Even without words sometimes, just let God, ask God to look into your heart and to see the thoughts and the desires and the concerns and the worries you have there, and entrust all of those things that you're facing, that your loved ones are facing, that your friends are facing. Entrust those things to God and to His care, and ask for His perfect blessing on all of those situations. Perhaps read a psalm. There are 150 of them with so much fruitful thoughts and prompts for our prayers, as we can reflect those prayers of God's people who lived thousands of years ago, and as we include those thoughts and ideas in our prayers to God. Read a section of the gospel. Reflect on the teachings of Jesus and the parables that Jesus taught, and ask for God to produce the fruits that Jesus teaches about in your life and in your heart and mind. Martin Luther stated that it is a good thing to let prayer be the first business of the morning and the last at night. Guard yourself carefully against those false, deluding ideas which tell you, wait a little while, I will pray in an hour, first I must attend to this or that. Such thoughts get you away from prayer into other affairs which so hold your attention and involve you that nothing comes of prayer for that day. Have you ever had that experience? I sure have. Maybe you wake up and perhaps so often the first thing you do is look at your phone, and then you see a message there, a notification, and you just start reading, and before you know it, you're caught up in all of the news and the goings-on of the world around us, or the events that you have for your day, and you forget, or you fail to start your day with prayer and with thinking about God's word and His promises of love for you. It can be so easy to forget to pray, but what a blessing it is to have that ability. And so let's ask for God's blessing to make that a regular part of our lives, to make use of that power and that privilege that God gives to us. And for all of us, there will always be those times when we are simply just unable to express in words to our Heavenly Father all the things that we're thinking in our hearts. We're sinful, we're weak human beings, and we will experience frustrations and restlessness. Our concerns for our family and our friends will be with us throughout the day, and at times they will even keep us awake at night. But as redeemed children of God, with a firm faith in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we know that our hearts and our minds are open to Him. All of our thoughts, everything on our hearts is known to God, is known to the Holy Spirit who searches our hearts. What a blessing it is to be assured that He is praying for us, that God hears those sighs and groans of our hearts when we don't even know what to pray for. God sees those deep concerns that we have, even when we think that we can't pray to Him. He knows the hurt and the anguish that we feel over the struggles that we face or that our loved ones face in life. And our Savior Jesus holds us all, holds us closely in those nail-scarred hands of His. His loving, all-powerful hands. He promises to protect us, to watch over us, to hear and to answer our prayers. May this good news, this assurance of God's love and faithfulness through Jesus our Savior, His promise to hear and answer our prayers for our good, may this truly motivate us to go to Him in prayer in the midst of all our needs, each day, to pray without ceasing by His grace. Amen.